All right. Well, hey, thank you for being here. We are in Brace for Impact. We talk about materialism tonight. We're going over the false ideologies. We spent some time talking about the importance of having your soul prepared, knowing what the truth is. And to secure your soul, we talked about first you need to know truth. Fortify yourself with truth. Know what the truth is. Again, and we're assuming there's truth. We believe that we can defend that there is such a thing as truth or reality. Truth would come from two sources. Natural revelation or natural truth, general revelation, just what the world presents. I mean, what is real? And then we as Christians believe in revealed truth, that God has written things down or revealed them to us through prophets, through apostles. Is this glaring on you guys? Okay. And that's, again, somebody would mock that and say, well, you believe in a magic Bible that was written by God. Well, if there is a creator and the creator wants to communicate, he's going to find a way to communicate. The very fact that we can speak, we can communicate with each other, we can write things down. There's such a thing as vocabulary. It's not out of the question at all that the creator, who is outside of our world, could also use a form of communication. And he would have to communicate in a way that he would have to use our language. He would have to use something that we could process and understand. And that's not a stretch of the imagination. Until you get into our culture, that we talked last week about being secular humanists and how everything has to evolve and come from a state of nothing. There's no absolutes. And that's going to lead into materialism that we'll talk about tonight. But first of all, fortify yourself with truth. The next thing we need to do to continue to secure our soul is expose the air. And that's kind of what we're doing right now, is identifying some things that they may sound philosophically lofty, and you get the right presenter, it'd be like, oh, wow, yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, but there's several cavities over here. There's areas that you haven't addressed, and materialism will be one of them. We live in a culture, a secular humanistic culture. We talked about it last week. A lot of thinkers, a lot of decisions, if it be in education, if it be in medicine, they're going to go, even if it's affecting religion, they're going to go down this materialistic road. It doesn't match reality, and it definitely doesn't match God's revelation. And so we need to expose the air, not to be cruel, not to be like making fun of people, not to, you know, try to belittle people, not because we're angry, but because we want the truth. It's no different than being analytical about the food you eat. Well, we don't want to be critical of the food. All food is good. It's like, well, no, there's some things you put in your body. It's not good for you. Well, that's judgmental. Well, yeah, and that same thing here. Not every philosophy. And if someone were criticizing me, saying, well, you're saying that you know what truth is, you're saying that God reveals truth, and they're disagreeing with me, well, you're doing the same thing to me that I'm doing to this. You're trying to expose my error, and good luck. I mean, if I am in error, expose it. But it's like, as soon as someone starts criticizing me, because I've got a position, and they're upset because I'm trying to expose something because I call it an error, it's like, who are you to call it? Well, who are you to say I'm wrong? It's like, now you get into this cycle, no one can be critical thinking. Criticize me. I mean, if I'm wrong, build a case, and you want truth. Your truth, again, I'm not going to say you've got your truth, I've got my truth, but truth may not be what I teach. I'm trying to teach truth, but I believe truth does exist, and I may be in error. Your job is to expose my error and find the truth. Now, it may not be the truth I'm presenting, because I'm making a mistake, and I'm doing the same thing. It's just that I'm taking a little more serious than just sitting around and taking pot shots at people. And then be able to defend your position. Because, once again, once I say this is the truth, this is what we base reality, base our life on, these are the false, like materialism is false, it's not going to work, it's not going to give you the results you want, then I'm going to have to then defend my position where I'm at. And that's kind of what we're doing right here And we're going through 10. Last week I tried to go through too much. I stopped with just one. Tonight I'd like to go through two things, materialism and then another one, idealism, if we have a chance. We are on the notes. We're on page 109 of the Brace for Impact book. I think you guys have good copies now where you can just flip the page over. I printed it correctly. I still have one from last week that's printed upside down. But as you look at the chapter, material, bottom of page 109, it says materialism. And I'm going to give you a brief definition of materialism. Now, I do want to, apologize. I'm not doing an in-depth philosophical research on materialism and, an exhaustive study. I think I've got a fair accounting of what materialism is, and I've got a response for it. And I think it's fair, but it's clearly not exhaustive. And, someone who's a true believer in materialism may want to, argue their case a little better than I'm presenting it here. But I will then come back after we've addressed it with two counters to that. And one is, how is materialism shown to be false by natural revelation? And each one of these, natural revelation, and each of these, I'll present materialism, and then how does natural revelation, or we call that reality, or you could call it, science, you can call it real life experience, what does creation say about this? And this should be available to all people. It's not hidden. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to have a Bible. You don't have to be a Christian. You should be able to see this. And how does natural revelation or general revelation address this? And that's powerful, I think, for our culture. And then the next part of the chapter will be special revelation, what we would call the Bible, the Word of God, Scripture. What does Scripture say about this? Because in my position of my worldview, my philosophy, my religion, I believe in reality, that we live in this created reality. That should help us identify true and false. And then I also believe the Bible, which is special revelation, and it should also help us identify these two right here, natural revelation, in my world, natural revelation and special revelation have to line up. If I've got special revelation and it doesn't line up with reality, I've defeated my position. Now, that is not saying special revelation may go beyond natural revelation. It just doesn't come in conflict with it. It isn't contrary to it. So you may have, in our sense right here in our little presentation, everyone should have this, what we'd say, general revelation. This is available to all men. My position should agree with this. I should be positive right here. But I also believe in special revelation, which is a bigger revelation. I can see this general revelation. I can study it. It's scientific. We all should be able to find this and understand it. Creation declares the glory of God. God's nature is revealed clearly in creation. But there's also special revelation, which is the Word of God, the Bible, which I can't go to heaven. I can't meet Jesus Christ. I can't see the moment of creation, but it's revealed in the text of Scripture. I can then know this right here, and it's provable. I mean, as far as the authenticity of it, we can go through that apologetically. I can know this, and with a basis of some understanding, I can place faith in the what is untestable, because much of it is testable and defendable. And so I'll place faith in what I see in creation, but I'll also place faith in what is revealed in the text of Scripture. Now, like I said, these two should agree. This should not conflict with this, but you can clearly see how this is going to be larger and broader, and there's going to be some things that I will believe that I will know based on special revelation. Yeah, you can't prove that. You can't, and you can reject it if you want to, but this diagram does show that we should all be able to agree right here in general revelation. And in general revelation, that creation shows there is a creator, that there is a God. And it also says in Romans that his character, his nature is revealed here. And so right in here, these things are telling us in general revelation, in creation, there's something out here to be looking for. And so even general revelation says, I am correct in looking outside for a bigger world, a bigger universe, a bigger being existence than what we see right here. So, with that being said, that's why we're going to present materialism, and then does it line up with reality, general revelation, and does it line up with the Bible, special revelation? And then we'll take a look at that. And this probably is the most important thing right now in our culture, because everyone lives here. Not everyone has accepted the Bible. Okay, here we go. Page 109. Materialism is this. Materialism is a theory stating that physical matter is the only reality, and that all existence, process, occurrences are the result of matter or material. So you've got matter, or we'll just say material. You've got matter. And all of this is responsible for everything you not just see, but experience. And this gets ridiculous, because including your thoughts, including your description of this, which, I mean, to make it very elementary, I just defeated materialism. Because everything is material, everything is matter. Matter is going to be responsible for everything you can see, you can touch, you can think, because it's chemicals. Everything's based on material. And now you're going to be thinking thoughts. You're going to be forming opinions. You're going to be coming up with conclusions and philosophies, like this one that says, my philosophy, that is everything is material, is actually a material reaction from material issues. It leaves off an entire area of, well, let's read this, of thoughts, of what's outside that general revelation, that whole area outside of a wide range. This includes, of course, human consciousness. I'm conscious right now. See, I think I'm thinking. I think I'm having an experience. I think I'm interacting with my world. I think I'm proclaiming truth that is beyond me, revealed in Scripture, things that I can experience. I'm having a conscious experience. It's like, it's all matter. It's all material. It's not, there's no mind. There's no soul. It's just merely this material world. For example, in the 1800s, materialists began thinking of the world as a machine. Now, this is kind of interesting. There's a little bit of a history here. And they say the whole universe, the whole world, is a machine, or works like a machine. Now, again, you can imagine a movement in an automobile with wheels, and you're going through the air, and you're feeling the wind in your hair. It's all because of material, mechanical activity in this machine called a gasoline engine. Now, that will make sense. Why do I feel the wind in my hair? Because you're moving. Why are we moving? Because there's an engine working. And this engine, this machine, is designed, that's a key word right there, designed to cause gasoline to explode and cause motion. And here we go. We got the whole drive system, and the car is moving. And now with that, again, think 1800s, a lot of thinking was going on in the 1800s, while they're shoving the scriptures aside, trying to explain it in a very materialistic, naturalistic way, they're coming up with all kinds of other ideas, including some of the major cults that we have in our culture today, Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventists, Mormons, all springing off of different directions. You also got a bunch of other philosophy about. There is a lot of thinking going on, but this ideal of a machine was really captured the ideal of materialism. And as in the 1800s, thinking the world as a machine that could be fully explained by the material from which it was made. Being a machine, there was no room for such things as, now here we go, if you've talked, I already mentioned consciousness, we talk about soul and mind, but also values, ethics, right and wrong. Now, if, in my worldview, is if it's correct, there is a creator. And he created, he spoke, and it came into existence, and it reveals, it reflects his own nature, the creator's nature. We call it God. We think it's personal, because we're personable. Again, it's hard to imagine just this machine somewhere that's creating and spitting out universes. You can, if you're into materialism, except this machine is spitting out people with personalities and can interact and have feelings that, well, this machine must have some kind of personality, some kind of feeling, some kind of, you know, connection with people, other beings, or else, in a sense, we're greater than the machine that's spitting us out. It's just the machine. I mean, that's why creation reveals God's nature. But in that case, if God created this universe, if he created us in his image, then he's already got in his own nature what's right and wrong. Now think about this, too, as we go through this. Right and wrong is not based on God sitting in heaven going, which column do I want to put this in? I'll put it here. Or then maybe later on in history, I'm going to move it from this column to this column, the right column and the wrong column. I don't think, well, he's God, he gets to decide. I think it's bigger than God deciding. I think it's who he is. It's his nature. He be holy because he is holy. Well, what is holy? Him. He didn't say one day, you know what, I'm going to make a creation, but first I better be holy. Okay, now I'm going to call these things holy and these things are not holy. He is holy, and he's going to make things in his image for his purpose, and everything's a reflection. Based on his plan, his purpose, his desire, that establishes right and wrong. It's not a matter of God saying, I've changed my mind, or if you pray, he'll switch one thing to another column. It's this column of right and wrong, of moral, of ethical, is who he is. Now, again, taking into consideration absolute values, ethics, and right and wrong, we do have cultural values. I mean, just Zach coming home from Taiwan and Paul and Stacy being here from New Zealand, it's fun just to kind of, you know, a lot of it is just talking and saying, oh, that's interesting, back and forth. Sometimes it's making fun of each other because, you know, the Zach's got certain standards being in Taiwan for 5 years. It's like, well, that's not the way we do it here. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking more about, that'd be more of a cultural preference. We're talking about going to the pool today, talking about skin color. And, you know, I'm out there, you know, I'm out getting some sun because I like the ideal of a suntan. That's a nice golden skin. I don't get very good golden skin. I just get, Tony's got some nice skin. But he's from Taiwan where his track students, they want white skin, pasty white. Not, I mean, when I go to school this fall, I want to walk in and have people look at me and think, hey, you've been out in the sun. It's like, yeah. I don't want to walk in like it's January. You know, and I want to be able to, you know, be able to have some kind of a tan line. They'll go out of their way to be, you know, pasty white, because that's what's valued. That's their standard. And I'm coming out of the 70s and the 60s when, you know, the tan was cool and everything. And that's just you know, that's not a value in ethic or right or wrong. That's just what your culture values. And it's interesting also, I could talk about, Song of Solomon addresses it. Song of Solomon talks about it. The woman in Song of Solomon talks about how her brothers mistreated her and made her work in the field. And now her skin is darkened. And she's apologizing to her man that her skin is not pale, that she's been out in the sun working. So the connection there is, if you're in the sun, you're a laborer. In my world, if you're in the sun, you're at the beach. You know, you're just kicked back, you know. But in that world, you're dark skin because you're out in the field. So she wanted to have a lighter skin in the Song of Solomon because it meant she was a refined lady, not out pulling weeds in the family garden. And her brothers made her work in the family garden, so it's, my skin is darkened. And she's apologizing for her darkened skin. Well, coming out, again, out of the 70s, I always wanted to, the babe that had dark skin, you know, from the beach. Anyway, long story about skin tone there. Okay. If there's a God, he's going to have values and ethics that he's established in creation because of who he is. This materialism, if it's a machine, we're living in a world that there can't be any ethics. In fact, it says right here, besides machine, there was no room for such things as values or free will. Accordingly, materialism is a philosophy that finds no meaning or purpose. So if you have, this is making a jump here, if you have no values, you have no meaning, you have no purpose, and all of these things are demanded by the human experience. Now, you can say, I disagree with that. That's not the way I think. Well, in my world, I've got to have some value in myself and values that justify my values. I've got to have meaning. Why am I doing this tonight? I mean, it's like, well, I just like having people in my house. I just, whatever gets you in the house, you know. It's like, no, that's not at all true. There's something bigger here. There's a meaning and there's a purpose here. And I have purpose because of my worldview. In this right here, your materialism, it's a machine. There's no absolutes. There's no right or wrong. There's no values, no ethics. And if there's no values, there's no meaning. There's no real purpose. You're just part of the machine. And in a gasoline engine, there's parts of the machine, but the purpose of the gasoline engine is to create motion. And I referred to it before. If I go through the shop and I find a little bolt laying on the floor or something, it's like I don't just throw it away. I put it back where it came from if I know. If I don't know where it came from, I realize there's something broken in the shop or in the process of breaking, and I set it on my desk or somewhere. So when I come by sometime later, maybe the next day, maybe in a year, it's like I get something. It's like, there. I put it back where it goes because every bolt in a machine has a purpose. And in this machine, if it was a gasoline engine, everything would have a purpose. But this machine itself, it's a machine. Now, here's the big part. It's like, what's the purpose of the machine? It's just a machine. Well, that's stupid. Machines don't just be. I mean, here's a machine. What's it for? Nothing. It's just a machine. It's who made the... There's no who in this machine. And the very fact, and this is going to come up later in the chapter there, the very fact that they, in the 1800s, chose... That was their go-to illustration. The universe is a machine. It's a materialistic machine just made out of matter. Machine? I mean, do you understand what you just said in your self-definition? Materialism is a machine. Any machine that we are familiar with was designed for a purpose by a creator. And so right away, again, it's self-defeating in the very definition. The best thing they could come up with in the 1800s was it's a machine. That's a bad illustration because the question is, who made the machine? Because who made the machine is going to answer all of these questions. What was a gasoline engine in an automobile? Who made it? Ford. Why? To move you down the road. There's who made the car? It was to answer these questions. But they have no who. It's just the machine, which means they can't answer any of these things. And they want you to, and this, you understand, if you do not go beyond this, you're going to get into a very, very depressed culture. It's going to start to self-destruct. It's going to start to deconstruct everything it touches, because everything, if my worldview is correct and there's a creator with a purpose and there's value besides just the material, there is material, but there's things beyond that, you're going to have to answer all those questions. And if all you have is just this machine, you're going to have a bunch of just confusion, and you're going to have to artificially answer those questions. You're going to have to keep people from killing each other. You're going to have to make people share and live together as a society. Why? Because it's right? Well, not really. We don't have any right. It just works better. And here they go. And you can just see this self-defeating. In the philosophy of materialism, ethics are only meaningful as personal preferences and are not based on any absolute standards. Values are regarded as useful fictions. Hear that? They're artificial. We have no purpose, so we're going to have to create some. Now watch what's happening. Just to take a side note here, they're useful fictions. The same thing if you believe in God, or if you are a Christian. Now watch this. This is the same thing is happening right here in the church, in Christianity. I believe in God. What are your values? What's right and what's wrong? And then you start making up this legalistic list, this artificial list, instead of going to the Word of God and studying Scripture, and the Word reveals God, reveals God's nature. It answers all these questions. This is what we're doing. But if you say, I believe in God, I'm a Christian, I'm going to go to church, no one is interested in the Bible, you might as well be a materialist. I mean, you've got this concept of this God out here. Who is it? I think he's kind. I think he's loving. Jesus died for us. Why did Jesus die for us? I don't know, as a good example to put others before ourselves. We should be kind to each other. Kindness is the greatest virtue. What? Yeah, if we just be kind to each other, everything will work better. Okay, now you're discussing kindness, but kindness is not Christianity. You're filling this in. Or don't do these things. Don't, and they get this list, and you're creating an artificial list of you need to be kind, and you shouldn't eat that, and you shouldn't listen to this, and you shouldn't do that. What is this right here? This is your artificial list of Christianity, because you just had to make something. It's like a fiction. What you need to do is leave this list blank. Read the Word of God. Let God reveal himself, and he will fill in the blanks of ethics, of morals, of purpose, of direction. And you don't have to be legalistic. You don't have to make it up. So we can make fun of materialism for having artificial ethics or necessary fictions, but it happens in church all the time. It's they come up with necessary fictions for you to embrace. We've got to have a plan. Let's get everybody involved in. It's simple. So again, we're talking about materialism, but as soon as you say this, you can start seeing it in other areas of life, these artificial fictions. Nonetheless, ethics are only meaningful as a personal preference and are not based on absolute standards. Values are regarded as useful fictions to aid the human experience. Now, they admit they're having a human experience. Words such as good and evil have meaning only in relation to the person speaking. Now, again, you can hear this in our culture. Good and evil, it only depends on the situation. If this group is rioting, it's a necessary good. It's how the society works. If this group who disagrees with you is rioting, it's a criminal activity, and it needs to be stopped, and there's no room for this kind of activity. It's like, it's virtually, you're identifying it as the same thing, but you're getting two different, same things, this is good, this is evil. It's the same thing. Well, it's a personal preference. Okay, now you're not in truth. Now you're in personal preference. Well, it's my truth. Okay, now, I mean, just, you know where we're at now in our society. Words such as good and evil have meaning only in relation to the person speaking, so the meaning of these words can vary greatly depending on the individual. The material machine certainly cannot define good and evil in any objective way. The machine, material and matter, it's just like gravity. You jump, you're falling. Is that did the machine make a decision? The machine just does. You take this medication, it does this. If you're allergic to it, it does this. It's like, why? It's the way the machine works. It's not an ethical thing. There is material, but it is within a realm that's much bigger. Someone's got to be coming up with ethics and values. How is materialism shown to be false? By natural revelation. Okay, I've already said a lot of things. By natural revelation, how is this concept, and again, I've been rambling here, but now we've got it written down in an orderly fashion. Natural revelation is just clear reasoning. The philosophy of materialism fails to agree with reason and with reality on several areas. A couple of these most accessible relate to the image of the universe, which is the machine. So the very fact they're using a machine, it doesn't make sense at reasoning. It doesn't make sense in reality. The most obvious breakdown in the godless machine theory of all things is the fact that every machine has a designer and a maker, and so even the materialist's own self-chosen image carries with it the need for a creator. You've just defeated your argument by saying it's like a machine, a godless machine. Well, even a machine, if it's got any purpose, had to be designed for that purpose. You don't know the creator, you don't know the purpose. At least they're recognizing there's a machine. Another problem began way back in the 1600s when materialism first denied mental substance. Now watch this. I'm just going to write this down so we can see this. Materialism is not something we came up with in the 1960s. We came up with a lot of things, but this is not one of them. The 1600s, materialism was trying to get rid of mental substance. This is still floating around today. When you talk about anything in your mind, it's just a chemical reaction. So you really don't have mental activity. There's no mental substance. It's just chemicals. Now, like we've talked before, like on Sunday morning, when something happens in the world, for example, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, we know it was the Lord. But we also know from yesterday that there were angels there that did it. But we also know from the same biblical account says the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It says the angels destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. But then it says there's a fire and brimstone, or what we call today during the archaeological research over there, an air burst. There was a scientific, there was a physical airburst that actually just blew it all away. And it got covered up by the Dead Sea and a variety of things. And so, which of these? Well, the materialist would say it was an airburst. The machine just blew it away. Okay? But in the biblical account, behind the airburst, there was angelic activity. So you're saying everything that happens naturally is because of angels? I'm not saying everything, because there's a world, a universe that's functioning, but I am saying you got to consider that, because in this case right here, there was an airburst that the angels were involved with at some level, but the Lord is the one who did it. So you can take away the airburst, you can take away the angels, and it was the Lord who did it. So, In the 1600s, they tried to get rid of the idea of a mental substance. And you can say, well, there's chemicals that are causing this reaction. Okay, right. there's chemicals in our body. We all have chemicals, levels of variety. I mean, proteins and hormones and all kinds of things going on. But that was designed by, ultimately, God. Well, how many things are in between the chemicals and the Creator? So all they're looking at is, well, it's chemicals. Well, there's a system. You're going to have your own free will, you know, your own thoughts. You're going to have, there can be supernatural things involved in this. There can be very natural things involved in this, like what you eat. I mean, you eat too much sugar. I mean, I just spent the last weekend with my grandchildren, which means I was under strict supervision the entire time by my children. And so it's like, oh, I mean, I raised six kids, but now when I'm around children, I've got six adults, whoa, guiding me so I don't screw up the grandchildren. But I did realize, you know, you can give them too much candy. And so you could give them, you know, that will have an effect on this chemicals. But you see, before you get to the chemicals and say, well, there's no real mental activity, wait a minute. There's a whole lot of things, including your own will, the own input from other people that's causing what's ever happening in your mind. And that's just a very elementary scribbling on the board describing it. So this is not saying there's no chemicals involved and medication and diets involved, but that's really taking it down to it's just a machine. There's nothing else before that. Okay, 1600s. In the 1700s and 1800s, when it denied the validity of all the supernatural. So 1700s, just to say, they got rid of the supernatural. They no longer see. Now this is progressivism. Way back in the old days, everything was demons and angels and spiritual. Well, it was nice that we had the scientific revolution and we realized, wait a minute, this is not a demonic manifestation. This is just a matter of you need to eat right or you need to stop smoking this or whatever. And then they went to the place where there is no supernatural whatsoever. What you see is what you get. That's the 1700s, 1700s and 1800s. After that, then, that would attack the religious experience. Now, this is when our country was being founded. And then in the 1900s, they began to attack human consciousness. I'll just scribble human consciousness. That your whole human experience, your human consciousness, is nothing more than the machine. Acknowledging the existence of matter is one thing, I write it here, but the materialist takes it to the extreme. For matter to become self-aware, analytical, and capable of forming thoughts that are expressed as words is totally beyond explanation. So by the time they went through this, materialism is going to end up with only matter or only material because mental substance was eliminated. Supernatural and any kind of thing that is not material is eliminated. Your entire human conscious experience is nothing but some kind of manifestation of material and matter. By saying that, you are now having, right here, listening to me, I am forming words from my thoughts. And all of that is just a matter of matter and material forming these words and thoughts. We're being analytical. If we're right or if we're wrong, we're trying to be analytical. Thinking and expressing words all came from matter. That right there is what that's weird. That's supernatural. That's impossible. Now watch this right here, because what's going to take place is if you take words and material, if the universe is a machine, it's creating words. These are not just, we're not just talking about sounds, beep, bop, boop. We're talking about words that have thought, that are connected, that they form paragraphs, they form libraries, I mean, philosophies. This is, include personality. You can, it's all in words, but it all came out of material. That would mean material is eternal, and these things are created by it. How about this? How about if there's an eternal person with eternal thought, all connected, and it is expressed in words, and this is eternal, an eternal words, thought, person gave rise to material. This is more believable, that there was thoughts that created the machine than the machine created the thoughts. And that's where, and again, now listen, we haven't even gone to John 1:1 yet and said, Logos. The Word became flesh. He created all things by Him. We're not even in special revelation yet. We're still just talking about philosophy right here. Hurrying on through this. While materialism claims that material is eternal and existed before the mind, we must recognize this is science fiction and nothing more than an example of blind faith. You cannot see this. You cannot see material producing words. Now, when the day comes when God shuts off the light and turns this world to darkness, you're going to see some very strange things. You're going to see demonic activity that you've never seen before. You are going to see, in a sense, the image that was set up in the idol speaking words. That's what Revelation says. And you're going to see this reversed. It's going to be part of the great delusion God is sending on the earth. We haven't seen that yet. But again, you can see all these things that are absolute and explainable through nature, reason, reality. You throw demonic activity in there, that all just gets twisted, and all of a sudden nothing makes sense anymore. And now you're following doctrines of demons, and you've lost truth, and it's over. We're not there yet, because we can still test things scientifically. We can still test things in reality. But once demons start twisting that around and confusing it and being controlled or controlling people, it's going to be different. But right now, we're safe right here. Much more defensible is the view that reverses this order, explaining that there is an eternal mind from which matter was created. In fact, I got the third to last paragraph on page 111. In fact, recent advances in quantum physics, now understand I'm researching and writing and putting this together. I have not done research in quantum physics in my office on my own. Recent advances in quantum physics have revealed that the behavior of the smallest particles in existence do not support the picture of a deterministic machine envisioned by the early materialists. What's happening with the materialist is the same thing that's happening with the atheist and the evolutionist of the 1800s, is as science advances and reality becomes more and more clear and we see deeper and deeper into the smallness of the universe and the largeness of the universe, your theories from the 1800s don't work. They're not. Now, what's interesting is what was true in Scripture continues to hold steady through all these scientific advances. Maybe your interpretation of the verse, and you had to dumb it down so it fit with the 1800s evolution or the 1920s humanist manifesto or whatever, you're dumbing it down so it matches your culture. That might be wrong, but the clear teaching of the Word of God, word by word, verse by verse, just even if it doesn't match your science of the day, just keep teaching, because it's catching up. or history is catching up to the scriptures. Advances in quantum physics have revealed that the behavior of the smallest particles in existence do not support the picture of the deterministic machine envisioned by the earlier materialists. Determinism being the philosophical doctrine stating that all events, including all human action, are ultimately determined by causes external to the will. That's how far they push this. All of your action. Now understand, if you're in charge of the criminal court or the criminal system, and all the human action are ultimately determined by causes external to the will, you're going to handle criminals and crime a whole different way than if you think this person has a will, has thoughts, and is responsible. Materialism takes, and this is one of the huge problems with our society, is responsibility. We've got the seven institutions that God created. One was the individual responsibility. Then, you know, marriage, family, on down, government, nationalism. But the number one is you are responsible. You are responsible. Not the chemicals, not just this machine that's just determined I'm going to be this way. You stink and have a will. You stink and have an attitude. You stink and have the ability to form thoughts. And once that you're convinced, and society is convinced, and education is convinced, and the criminal system is convinced, it's all just materialism. And no one can be held accountable. Well, listen, if you start teaching me that, you start treating me that way, I start showing up late for work, and the boss comes down and says, you know, there's not a thing you can do about it. I know you're an hour late today, but, you know, sometimes things just get in the way. Didn't know you were going to see it that way, but you're absolutely right. Well, you know what I'm going to do the next day? I'm going to be late again because it's just going to continue. I'm going to leave early. And it's like, well, you know, sometimes you have to leave early. In fact, the way my world works, sometimes it's best if I just don't even show up. If you could just deposit the check in my account, you would sure... You don't know how much trouble it is. Some days it's hard to get out of bed and then drive to work and then get to work. And I've got other things I'd rather be doing, but I sure need that paycheck. Sure, we can make that work. You can? Because there's not a thing I can do about it. I mean, I know my own self. I mean, you cut me this much slack, I'm going to need this much next time. It's like, I hate to say that, but I know myself. We talked to Tony once. We talking. Sometimes I say, I don't like myself. I mean, you see, it's like I like to think of myself as I try to give you a good presentation here, you know, or whatever. But it's like I see myself and I know how lazy I am. You say, well, you Bible study, you take notes, you all. It's like, yeah, but you. It's like sometimes I don't even want to do anything, you know. And sometimes you need a break too. But it's like. I can't cut myself slack. I don't need a society. I don't need a philosophy that tells me there's no purpose. You're not responsible. It's like, well, you understand that that's if a society were to buy into that. Basically, the only thing that materialism has proven is that the science which investigates the natural system of the material world cannot explain all that we humans know or experience. So science has gone into this world and they've looked at all these things that we see in our world, in our own self, in our own personalities, and it's like, okay, we can't explain that. Now we know there is material. No one's denying there's chemicals. No one's denying that there's a material world we live in. We live in a fleshly body. We live in a fleshly world. We live in a material world. Thoughts, we don't know where that comes from. The more you get into science and materialism, you know what you've got, but you've got a lot more happening than is in your little box. So what materialism has proven is this is insufficient. We know what we know. And we know about material, but there are some things out here we can't explain. We cannot demonstrate how that came into existence. And if you're willing to admit that, Study materialism. Try it on. See how it fits. And you will find out it fits right here in material. But you better stop, because you don't know what's going on outside there. And when you start eliminating all these things here, you're deconstructing reality, and you're going to cause more confusion. Ultimately, the philosophy of materialism is self-defeating, because human consciousness cannot analyze physical matter if it is nothing more than physical matter itself. So out here, these thoughts, these words are analyzing the philosophy of materialism. And if it's just material, how can it do that? It's all an illusion. We're going to page one. Where were we at? One. See, that's why I should have got a new updated copy for myself. Here it is. It's okay. How is materialism shown to be false by special revelation? What we did so far tonight, we defined materialism, and someone could say not very fairly. I did the best I could, and it's a general explanation. We then compared it now to the natural world, what we see naturally, that everyone should be able to see, because you've all got words, personality, consciousness. But now on page 112, how is materialism shown to be false by special revelation in Scripture? And here's just some Scripture. And the idea here, can you hear right here the ideal of the mind, the Logos, God Himself, the greater being, creating the material world? But there's a lot of things going on outside. Here it is. Colossians 1:16. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth. Now watch this. Visible and invisible. You could do a rough translation. Material and immaterial. So right there, the Bible says God is outside, and He created all the material and all the immaterial. Well, how does the materialism explain the immaterial? Because the immaterial was created right alongside the material. What is the immaterial? I mean, angels, anything that is not seen, anything that is not material, soul. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, and all four of those are clearly spiritual beings. All things were created through Him and for Him. He is the beginning, through Him created, and for Him the purpose. So you get rid of the Creator, you don't know where this stuff came from, you don't know what the purpose is, and you've lost the whole immaterial world. Which, when you read the Bible, the immaterial world continues to have a constant impact on the material world. Imagine playing some kind of a pinball machine, and you're trying to do the flippers and all these things with this metal ball rolling around, ding, 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 ding. And there's somebody, you have those green screens, and someone's got a green suit on. You ever seen that? You know what I'm talking about? And they have these little videos. You see little TikTok videos or whatever. I don't watch TikTok, but I do watch Reels on Facebook, and you see these. And you have someone doing this, crazy flip in the air. It's like, whoa, how do they do that? Well, then they show you from a different angle, and there's someone, when they come running, someone's got a green suit on in front of a screen, and the person comes, they grab them and they help them flip around and do this thing or whatever, and then when you run the film back, it's like there's nobody there. Okay, imagine the material ball bowling around, a steel ball in the pinball machine, you're playing it. But there's someone in a green suit, you can't see him, with a magnet, and it's like pulling it directions with this magnetic force. It's like, I you can't figure it out. Well, that would be the materialist trying to explain the world without embracing the fact that there's an immaterial side to this universe also. We may call it the spiritual side. And now try to explain all the things without the immaterial, without the spiritual, without the consciousness. By faith, Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. The universe was created by the Word. God is eternal. His Word is God. It is eternal. That Word became flesh, Jesus. But the Word created the visible. So material, right here. For me as a Christian, materialism is an error, a philosophical deception. Now, the materialist is saying I'm in deception because I'm talking about the spiritual, the immaterial, the eternal God, values and purpose. It's like, okay, well, we can debate, we can discuss, and make advances. I've clearly, if I had a materialist here that would be criticizing my presentation, I would take notes because the materialist would understand materialism better than I do. So please show me. But are you going to convince me that this is true and the Bible's not? You're probably just going to give me more evidence to build on why it's not true, unless I misrepresent it. Maybe materialists would say, well, no, we believe in the Scriptures. We believe God is the great creator of the machine. Well, then now you're a deist. You're not a, it's like, so what would they say? Another Revelation 4, worthy are you, Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. So, again, this is not new information for you. 1 Timothy 1:17, to the King of the ages, to the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. So he's beyond the ages, immortal, no death, eternal, invisible, immaterial. Revelation 5:13, I heard every creature in heaven and on earth. Creatures in heaven would be possibly immaterial. And on earth, material. And under the earth, immaterial. And in the sea, I guess material. And all that is in them, saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers flames of fire. There you've got that, what I said, giving the example of who destroyed Sodom, the Lord, the angels, or the air burst. Well, he makes his angels winds. He makes them his ministers, his servants, flames of fire. So there you've got it right there. He's taking the immaterial and manifesting it as material in his universe. Now, that's not saying every storm is an angel blowing through, but it is saying that God does take the immaterial to transfer it into the material. When the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but says, the Lord rebuke you. And there you've got talking about the body of Moses. But you've got Satan arguing with an archangel about material body. That's the Moses is dead and there's still a remaining carcass. And what's going to happen with it. And something that's, again, out of some Jewish literature that Jude quotes, that Satan and Michael were arguing about the dead corpse, what was going to happen to it. Probably Satan. Well, I don't know. I could start speculating, but nonetheless. And Ephesians 1:21, Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come, Christ became the Word, Logos became a man, died on the cross, was resurrected, and then ascended into heaven in a resurrected body. I mean, there's nothing even in that verse, except for the fact that Christ was raised, that even deals with material. It goes instantly into the immaterial, supernatural, and it's like in that verse, that's where everything's happening. You got rulers and authorities, and every name that can be named, Christ is seated far above them, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. What's that? Now, that's not, you're not going to find that in your general revelation. We've got time ticking away. Is it going to continue forever? In the material world, I remember learning this in the 70s in high school, you know, the sun is going to burn up, or the sun is going to, eventually the sun is going to burn out. Well, like when? Before I'm 18? It's like, well, no, not that soon. In like, you know, so many billions and billions of years, the sun will burn out. Oh, well, then I'm good, right? Yeah, you're good. Because there's things I wanted to do in life before the sun burned out. But science itself, materialism, is saying that this whole thing, one, we're counting it. One, two, three, four. Which means, philosophically, if you're counting it, you can't count backwards forever. I mean, this is logic. You had a beginning. You had a beginning that you could start counting. There was a, we know there was a beginning of the universe. And we're projecting scientifically using materialism, not using the Bible, but we're projecting out saying there's an end. This whole thing is winding down. We're running out of energy. The laws of thermodynamics. So there's a beginning and an end. So even general revelation says this age now, whatever that is. But within this age, God is talking to us about the age to come. So this general revelation, even if with material, we see that we are in an age, and it had a beginning and it's got an end. We're not even reading the Bible. We're just looking at science and what happens after that. Well, it would be the next age. Well, the Bible's talking about this. Jesus has been enthroned, and he's enthroned in this age, and he's already ready to take over in the age to come. The Bible's addressing these things. So that is the refutation of materialism, a brief explanation, a refutation of it, with natural revelation, reality, and special revelation, the text of Scripture. And next time we'll go over idealism. And that should be just a very short one, just like the first two were very short. Okay, I'll pray, and then if you get any questions or thoughts or corrections, or if you or yourself are a full-throttle materialist, maybe you could, you know, explain some errors I made in materialism. Father, we do thank you for the chance to look into these things. We ask that we would indeed be able to secure our souls with truth, your truth, the things that you have revealed in creation and in your word, but also be able to expose the error of false philosophies with not just our words and our criticism, but with our life, the things that we do, the way we live our life. And Father, we ask that we would then be able to live a life that is able to defend you and present you to the world as a viable answer to the world's situation, to the individual's problems of their own sin nature, and be able to walk in the light and find truth. Father, do ask that we again may serve you at this time in history, in this age, and we look forward to the age to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.